few musical acts have enjoyed the success and the long run of the legendary band Bon Jovi. And a revealing new documentary series premiering tonight on Hulu tracks the highs and the lows of the Grammy Award-winning band's four decades together. Recently, Jeff Bennett spoke with frontman John Bon Jovi about Thank You, Goodnight, the Bon Jovi story. It's for our arts and culture series, Canvas.
John Bon Jovi, welcome to the NewsHour.
Thank you, Jeff. Happy to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. This docuseries is a real honest look at the band's triumphs, its setbacks. What has this experience been like, reliving your past and then considering what it all means for your future?
It was emotional when we saw Rough Cut because a lot of life was lived in these last 40 years.
Why share so much and why share it now?
Well, 40 is a milestone. You know, even if it's only the first 40, 40 years is a long time to have been making music as we have. So I wanted to mark this milestone. We were archiving everything that I didn't realize what a hoarder I have become. So it made it easy for the storytelling. And then about this vocal surgery was not a part of the plan. But this is a couple years in the making, this film. So that just happened. And I'm not afraid to show emotion. It's just that we typically hadn't had the platform for it.
To have led one of the world's most successful bands, to have a 40-year run doing that, that doesn't happen by accident. What has it required of you?
I love what I do, but it's hard work. It's like anything else. You know, it's your craft, but it's also your passion. And then by being true to who and what you are, which was important early on to remain true to that, you evolve as a man and as a writer, and people come along for that ride.
And you found success early, in your early 20s. How were you able to grapple with megawatt fame so early in life?
I can't tell you that I could write the book on it, but in truth, probably our upbringing, where we were from, the time in which we were born, family, the band could close the door and say, "Do you believe what just happened?" So a lot of that, you know, was living the life.
You talk in the docuseries about one of your biggest musical influences, Bruce Springsteen. I didn't realize until watching this that you actually played with his band when you were in high school.
He jumped up on stage with my band when I was
Well, that's even better. He played with your band when you were in high school. How has your relationship evolved since then?
Well, obviously, it's something that I treasure. He's so many millions of people's hero. But growing up 25 miles away from that Jersey Shore scene where he made it famous, and then Southside Johnny followed up in those footsteps, those were guys that not only I could look up to who were 12 and 13 years older, but they made the impossible seem very possible because they were, in essence, right outside your window. And now our relationships, of course, are bonded for, you know, ever because we become very close.
Well, as I mentioned, this docuseries focuses on the band's setbacks, and you mentioned your vocal cord surgery. It was April of 2022.
Right.
You were performing in Nashville. You came off stage and realized you might not ever be able to perform live again.
Well, it's not that I couldn't. It was more of a decision that maybe I wouldn't. I tried everything I could. There was something happening, but a picture couldn't show it to you. Hmm. When a singer has something like a nodule, it's in essence a pimple on a vocal cord. You can see it visually. I wasn't having that. What I was realizing that one of my vocal cords was atrophying. And after a lot of holistic and praying and anything I could do, including going out on the road to try to beat it into shape, I'd come to the conclusion that I needed to find the right surgeon, and I did.
And there is no Bon Jovi without you and your voice. What did that feel like to potentially have the thing that you love to do taken away from you?
The truth is, I hadn't had to think about that because I've always been in the process of getting to the recovery. The new album is proof that the surgery has worked. For me now, the bar is getting back to that 2.5 hours a night, 4 nights a week. So that's the process that I'm in now.
The docuseries also features your former guitarist, Richie Sambora, who you described as your perfect foil. What do you mean by that?
Well, everybody wants a right-hand man. If they're lucky enough, they have a friend like that, you know, and he had come to see me many years ago. He says, "I need to be your guitar player." When we clicked and hit it off, you know, he became that perfect right-hand man. And in 2013, he left the band.
How big of an adjustment was it when he officially left?
Well, there was a big black hole on that side of the stage for sure, but there was nothing that was going to hinder me from continuing to write records and go out there and sell out shows. You know, if, sorry to say it, but look at the marquee, you know?
Has he watched this docuseries?
We watched it together. You know, and it was wonderfully emotional to be together, just the two of us watching it.
What do you believe sets Bon Jovi apart from other bands?
I don't know. I mean, if I did, I'd bottle it and sell it to somebody else. But I think it was the hard work, the joy of doing it. We persevered by writing songs that people could relate to. Mm-hmm. And I've been on this 40-year journey that people may have gotten off the ride along the way, but it's been honest and open. And so you can feel yourself in those shoes and different parts of your life the way I've written about them in mine.
Yeah, well, one of those songs, Living on a Prayer, classic, one of the best rock melodies ever. But when you were writing it, you thought, I'm not so sure about this. Maybe it's a song for a movie soundtrack. How did that song ultimately come to life?
Well, it evolved. When we'd written it on that day, it was a very simple chord structure. The melody, the lyric was finished. We knew all of that. But it came to life when the band got in the room and we developed the bass line and Tico came in playing the drums, and that's when it popped. That's when the key change happened at the end. Tommy used to work on the docks. That's how we wrote it.
Tommy used to work on the docks. Union been on strike. He's down on his luck. It's tough.
With an acoustic guitar and a stand-up piano. There was no drum machines in those days. There was nothing like that. So I was like, yeah, it's good. It's good. It's good. Yeah.
Did you know then that it could be
no.
as enduring as it is?
In truth, Jeff, it wasn't the first single on the album. Mm-hmm. You Give Love a Bad Name was the first single because that sort of sounded like what was on the radio, what a hit song sounded like. When we wrote that, when we were like, I think we got one here. Prayer was so different. And it was the second single. And of course, you know, the billions of streams and all that stuff later.
Right, right.
Who knew?
Well, you've got a new album coming out in June, recorded in Nashville. What does Nashville lend to the Bon Jovi sound?
I remember when I was a kid, my mom said, find your influences. And when we were talking a little bit off camera, somebody had said to me during the course of this promo tour, what's the first music you remember hearing? And the thing that came to mind initially was Beatles and Gene Autry.
Really?
So there was always a little bit of a country thing that I was aware of as a little boy, but it wasn't what drew me to music. What draws me to the city is, I jokingly say, these are my people. This it's a songwriter's community. Every guy that's pumping gas is a great songwriter, and they're still making a living doing it.
You think you might tour again?
I hope so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so do we.
Thank you.
Jon Bon Jovi, the new docuseries is Thank You, Good Night, The Bon Jovi Story, streaming now on Hulu and Disney+. Really great to talk with you.
And you, buddy. Thank you.
It's my